Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, thank you for this time together. Thank you, Lord, for this time in your word. Father God, we just thank you that your word says now is the time that you're looking for true worshipers to worship you in spirit and in truth. And Holy Spirit, we ask you to teach us today as we look at your word together, Father, as we read your word, let it penetrate into our hearts. And Lord, we just thank you for the spirit of wisdom and revelation to rest upon all those that will hear this message, oh God. We thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Thanks for coming out this morning. Hallelujah. The roads in Elkhart weren't plowed so well. None of our side streets were plowed. And so it was an adventure coming in my little car. Brother Charles calls it my pocket car. And so it's kind of interesting trying to steer that down the road. But we made it. Hallelujah. And we're thankful that you made it too. And we just thank God for his presence today. We thank him for what he's doing in our hearts. We thank him for our church family. I was just texting them, messaging them on Facebook that are all listening. Hello to all of you. And we're just so thankful that we have a way to worship together. Lord God, we just thank you that you made a way for us during this time, Father. You knew that this time was coming on the earth and that we would need the internet. Hallelujah. So, Father, we thank you for your provision this morning, Lord, as we study your word. And we're going to read our first scripture together. But the hour is coming, and now is, when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth. For the Father is seeking such to worship him. God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship in spirit and truth. Worship is a huge deal. You know, we look forward to worship every Sunday. And in the message video, I'm just going to share a few things in case you didn't get a chance to read everything that was on that video. But it said this. When the music includes one of our favorite songs, we say, worship was great. When the worship stinks, we yawn and wonder why the worship wasn't very good. We leave churches because of worship styles. Worship is a huge thing. Have you ever wondered if we are more concerned with what worship does for us and less concerned with the object of our worship? It seems like it's more about what we get, not what we give. It would be like taking a gift to a friend's birthday party and keeping it for ourselves. Worship is all about giving our lives again to God. Worship is not about the feelings we receive when we sing. Worship is not about convincing God to bless us. Worship is not about whether or not the guitar is too loud. Worship is not about what is happening on stage. Worship is not about entertainment, lighting, and sound. It is about Him, and we enter through the gateway of the cross. Worship is not about us at all. At the cross, we surrender love, cry, dream, give up, shut up, kneel, and confess. We look at God and place Him above all else because He is worth it. Life gets crazy and painful. No one can deny that. Jobless, divorce, death, addictions, parenting, loneliness. No one is asking you to pretend these things don't exist. You are just being invited to bring that stuff to the cross and to simply gaze at Jesus. And as you look at him, allow your response to be worship. Jesus is going about the earth seeking for those who will worship him in spirit and in truth. And the time is now. It's time to be aware of what God is seeking. True worshipers worship the Father in spirit. Spirit comes from the Greek word pneuma, and it is like the wind. It denotes the wind. It blows. It's the breath. And the definition I like the most is the spirit, which like the wind, is invisible, immaterial, and powerful. So the spirit of man is the immaterial nature of man, which enables him to communicate with God, who is also able to penetrate into our spirit. So our spirit worships God who is spirit. God is spirit, not a physical being. Spirit begets spirit and flesh begets flesh. So to worship in spirit involves honoring God and adoring God. And that happens by the quickening of the Spirit of God that is within us. And it happens according to the Word of God. The Scripture says spirit and truth. We need both in proper worship. Both must be there. If it's not, if the Word is not there, then worship can become emotionalism, sentimentalism, and it can lead to fanaticism. There is a need of the Spirit and the Word in true biblical worship. So what is worship? Let's read. Romans 12, 1 through 3. Therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. So worship is living a life that is sacrificial, holy, and pleasing to God. We tend to identify worship with music. But I want to emphasize today that if you have to be able to worship only when the music is playing, then you do not have a lifestyle of worship. Because worship is not about music. Worship is a lifestyle. When the music isn't playing, we are still presenting our bodies as a living sacrifice. And Jesus emphasizes holy. We're to live a holy, separate life from the world. Be ye separate from the world, Jesus said. If we're going to truly worship our God, if we're going to honor Him with our lives, then we live a sacrificial life. A holy life. And think about it. Worship is continually going on in heaven. As I was praying this morning, the Lord reminded me of this. Worship is continually going on in heaven. And in Revelation 4:8, it says, day and night, they never stop saying, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. When we are living a life that is holy, when we are willing to present our bodies as a living sacrifice, we are joining in with the worship that is going on in heaven. We desire to connect heaven to earth. And that is one way that we do that. It's when we live a holy, sacrificial life before the Lord. The angels continue and they say, the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come. And the angels continue to sing, holy, 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 around the throne of God. The scripture goes on in Romans and says, do not conform to the pattern of this world. And the pattern of this world, we know, is not holy. It's evil and it is corrupt. Do not conform yourself to the pattern of this world. We see the evil that is prevalent in our land. We see how what God desires is not what people are desiring. They're totally disregarding God. And when we totally disregard God, there is a judgment that comes upon our lives because we choose not to allow God into our consciousness. We choose not to allow God into our lives. And so we cut Him out. So when you cut Him out, the blessing of God is cut out from you. And we see this in the evil in the world today. Don't conform to it. There's a pattern in this world that is constantly pressing against us for us to conform, for us to give in, and for us to accommodate evil. Don't accommodate. Several years ago, the Lord spoke to me about accommodating evil. Don't accommodate it. Don't make an excuse for it. But we are to pray for those who are walking in darkness that they will see the light. The church has a call upon it to pray and to intercede and to bind up principalities and powers so that the gospel of Jesus Christ can be released into people's hearts and minds. Don't conform to the world. You see, the world wants us to be quiet. We see the cancellation culture. We see how conservatives are being shut down. Have you seen it? Somebody wave your hand at me. I mean, we can't deny these things. You know, someone might say, don't talk about that. Well, church, we need to send out a warning not to comply. The scripture says don't conform to the pattern of the world. Hallelujah. But be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you'll be able to test and prove what God's will is, His good, pleasing, and perfect will. This is not on your PowerPoint, but in 1 Corinthians 19, I thought about this. The scripture asks the question, what? Know ye not that your body is a temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God, and you are not your own? When the Spirit of God dwells inside our body becomes a temple. And what goes on in temples? Worship, adoration. A sacrifice goes on in temples. And so God is challenging the church to grow up and mature spiritually and recognize the responsibility that He has given us. When we're children, we don't recognize the responsibility. We just think, oh, I wish I could grow up. You know, I wish I could make those decisions. And I wish I was older. How many of you remember being young and just wishing you were older without realizing the responsibility that comes with that? Well, you know, God's been maturing the church. He's been maturing the saints of God. And He's saying, church, it is time to take on some responsibility here within the earth because I desire to establish my kingdom in the earth. And we are representatives of the kingdom. And we take an authority of the kingdom with us everywhere we go. Hallelujah. Somebody say hallelujah. Someone at home shout hallelujah this morning. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. 1 Corinthians 2:14 states that the natural man receives not the things of the Spirit of God because they are spiritually discerned. So God is looking for people who will tune in the Spirit and who will tune in to His truth. Jesus said, my word is truth. So He's looking for those who are hungry for the word of God. Those who desire the pure word of God. He is looking for those who will be willing to tune in spiritually to what the Spirit of the Lord is saying to the church. If you have ears this morning, you should be able to hear what the Spirit of the Lord is saying to the church. Hallelujah. 1 Peter 2, 4 through 5. Let's read this together. As you come to Him, the living stone, rejected by humans, but chosen by God and precious to Him, you also, like living stones, are being built into a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood, offering spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. So as we come together, church, We are the living stones that God is using to prepare a spiritual habitation for the Spirit of God to dwell in. God is here right now because we are living stones and He pulls us together. Those that were supposed to be here this morning are here this morning because we prepare a habitation for the Spirit of God to dwell in. He uses us. There's been a lot of studies on portholes and people talking about portholes. Well, let me share with you the major porthole of heaven and connecting heaven to earth is when the church gathers together and we prepare a spiritual habitation. The heavens are open and the Spirit of the living God is with us. Be careful for looking for portholes because you may be looking in all the wrong places. Hallelujah. We prepare that spiritual habitation, that open heaven, because we are called as the church to connect heaven to earth. Jesus prayed that His kingdom would come and His will would be done in earth as it is in heaven. The porthole is Jesus Christ. He is the connector. And when you receive the Spirit of God on the inside of you, then you are opened up to what is in heaven. And so you decide what is open over your life. And what is closed over your life. Because you determine what you're going to allow to come in. You can open up a porthole to the demonic. You can make an agreement with evil and have that open over your life. You see, it is a serious thing what we come into agreement with. Make no agreements with the devil. He doesn't keep any promises. We need to be wise to his schemes and his cunning craftiness so that we do not open a porthole in our life. We do not open up to allow that to flow into us. And I prefer not to use the word porthole because I don't see it in the scripture. I see it defined in the scripture as an opening, as a doorway, as a gate. Not a porthole. Although that is like a porthole. But we need to keep in context with what the Word of God says to us. We open up the heavens over our life by the choices that we make. Choose you this day. That's every day. Choose you this day whom you will serve. What are you going to open up over your life today when you get out of bed in the morning and when you go to bed at night? What are your choices? What have you opened up during the day? This is a season, church, that the demonic is roaming on the earth. And Satan, like a roaring lion, is seeking who he can devour. Well, God is seeking those who will worship him in spirit and truth. And Satan is seeking those who he can devour and eat up. And so, Father, we just repent if we have made any agreement with the gates of hell. Lord, if we've made any agreement with the lies of the devil. Lord, I ask you to break the power of the weed seeds that have been planted in us. The pattern of the world that has come against the people of God to keep us from rising up in this season to reach our fullest potential to establish the kingdom of God in the earth. Father God, we ask you to wash us today, cleanse us today, cut us loose and set us free today, oh God, that we will be living sacrifices, holy, 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 and acceptable in your sight through Jesus Christ. Father, I thank you. I thank you. Can we give the Lord a praise this morning and thank him? Thank him. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hamashikamanana. Kingdom praise is about God's will. And the Lord told me to go back in my studies, back in my messages, and I taught this in the year 2000, this message. God's word is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And there are forerunners in the body of Christ that begin to decree and declare what is coming. Well, it is here. Tell your neighbor, it's here. It's here. Hallelujah. Matthew 6:33, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. It is our primary purpose as the church of Jesus Christ to work in the kingdom of God. And the goal of working in the kingdom is not about thrill seeking, but it is about God. Have you ever noticed sometimes you walk in the will of the God and you don't have any chills or thrills? So our thinking needs to change from how can God bless me today to God, what do you want to accomplish in the earth today? What is the will of the King? Psalm 110:2 says this. Is it up there? The Lord shall send the rod of your strength out of Zion. Rule in the midst of your enemies. When we praise the King, he comes and he begins to rule in our worship. He begins to rule in our service. Whether there is music playing or not, worship is not music, but worship is adoring God. It is honoring God. It is presenting ourselves as living sacrifices to the Lord Most High. Jerusalem was understood to also be called Zion. So the kingdom of the Messiah was established there, and it fulfilled what the prophets said. And from that place, the gospel of the kingdom was preached. And God desired for the gospel of the kingdom to go out into all the earth, and the gospel would rule in the midst of our enemies. It's the gospel of the kingdom that rules. We're looking for other things sometimes to rule in the kingdom, but it is the gospel, the saving grace of Jesus Christ. Jesus said, the kingdom of God is in you. So if the kingdom of God is in you, you are a connector of heaven and earth. And the kingdom of God wants to be manifest in your life. And so we look at how we live a little differently. Christ rules, and the kingdom of God is set up in people's hearts. I love the kingdom of God because it's righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. I love the kingdom of God. I want to be a part of the kingdom. There's so much conflict in this world. That we can walk in peace, in righteousness, and joy in the Holy Ghost. We can walk, we can live in Him. We live and move and have our being. We don't have to get caught up. I was in a situation the other day, and I had to make a choice. And I made the choice, I'm not going to get caught up in this person's whirlwind. Have you ever gotten sucked into a whirlwind? Hello? Yeah, we're laughing because we have. We've engaged with that. We got sucked in just like a vacuum cleaner sucking up a bird, you know? We got sucked into that thing, and then it's hard to get yourself out of it. You have to decide in the midst of it. Lord, I see what's going on here. I see what's going on. And you've called me to walk in righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost, and I am not engaging with the whirlwind. Hallelujah. Someone say amen. Let's look at the prophetic movement. We studied this several times in the Blue Book. And some of this stuff is from Bishop, but I just want to share it. The prophetic movement revealed to us the warrior in Christ. 1 John 3:8, let's read it together. He who sins is of the devil, for the devil has sinned from the beginning. For this purpose, the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. Let's get that in our heart. Jesus Christ came to the earth to destroy the works of the devil. He promised that the gates of hell would not prevail against the church. We are the church of Jesus Christ. We are the ecclesia, the ruling element in the earth. And what do we rule over? The works of the devil. So let's take authority over the works of the devil when we see them being manifested. Jesus came to destroy that. Jesus Christ is on the inside of you. So you can pull the heavens, the kingdom of God, into earth, into that situation. Let's increase our faith. Either we're in the kingdom and the kingdom of God is living in us and it's going to be manifested and make a difference in the earth, or we just might as well sit down and shut up. The prophetic movement revealed Jesus Christ as a warrior. That was back in the 1980s. Many people are still not tuned in with the revelation that Jesus Christ is a warrior. He came as a lamb, but he's a warrior. And he leads the hosts of heaven. And he's never lost a battle. And Satan is already defeated. Hallelujah. He has already defeated him. It's the church's responsibility to remind the devil that he's already defeated. Come on, we go in the strength and the power of Jesus Christ, in the blood of Jesus Christ, and we remind him that Jesus Christ has taken the keys of death, hell, and the grave from him, and he no longer has the authority. Get out of my life. Get out of my life. And let your kingdom come, Lord. There's a whole new level of intercession coming. It's already here. How many intercessors here have felt it? There's something that's birthed on the inside of the intercessors. And we're ready to war. Hallelujah. For the purposes of God. Not for a political party. You see that political spirit we talked about a few weeks ago. You've seen that political spirit at work in the earth. What it's doing right now. It is working against anything that represents God and his kingdom and his son, Jesus Christ. It opposes everything that Jesus Christ represents. We see that political spirit. We see it at work in the executive orders that have been signed over this last week. It is opposing the will of God and the kingdom of God. Let's go on to the apostolic movement. The apostolic movement is revealing the ruler in Christ, the King of Glory. So the prophetic movement revealed that Jesus is a warrior. And the apostolic reveals him as the ruler, the King of Glory. Let's read Revelation 11:15. And the seventh angel sounded, and there were great voices in heaven saying, the kingdoms of this world are become the kingdoms of our Lord and of his Christ, and he shall reign forever and ever. So the warrior nature and the ruling nature go hand in hand in possessing and ruling the land. Let's read our scripture in Exodus 15:1-4. Then Moses and the Israelites sang this song to the Lord. I will sing to the Lord, for he is highly exalted. The horse and its rider has he hurled into the sea. The Lord is my strength and my song. He has become my salvation. He is my God, and I will praise him, my Father's God, and I will exalt him. The Lord is a warrior. The Lord is his name. Pharaoh's chariots and his army he has hurled into the sea. The best of Pharaoh's officers are drowned in the Red Sea. Woo! The Lord's a warrior. And he's a ruler. He has the last say over that political spirit. Pharaoh functioned with a political prince of power over him that was opposing everything that God wanted to do in the earth. But we see what happened to Pharaoh and all of his officers. And we thank you, Lord God, that you will do the same for us today in this season, in this time. Somebody shout hallelujah. Woo! I'm preaching myself happy here. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Time for the revelation to take effect in the earth. Hashikamana. Thank you, Jesus. I'm just full of the Holy Ghost. So those of you that didn't understand what I just said I'm full of the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. I've had people, very religious spirits, say, I want to know what you just said when you spoke in tongues. Ha, she come on. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, reveal it to them. She come on. And set them free from that religious spirit. It's the language of the kingdom. It's the language of the kingdom. It's the ruling language of the kingdom. When I pray in the Holy Ghost, I'm praying the Spirit. Perfect will of God. I am allowing myself to be open. I'm the porthole that God is pouring the Holy Spirit into, and I'm praying in tongues. That's what happened on the day of Pentecost. When you saw the fire upon all of their heads, they became a porthole of the Spirit of the living God, and they began to pray in other tongues, and the fire of God burned in them. Is that what you want this morning? The fire of God burning on the inside of us. We can't hold back that spirit language. Don't ask me to. Hush, come on. I grew up Pentecost. So you know what? I've been praying in tongues since I was 13. So I've been praying in tongues for a very, very, very long time. Hallelujah. And no one can convince me that it is not the power of God that is working on the inside of us. Jesus Christ is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think by the power of the Holy Ghost that is working on the inside of us. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Woo! Woo. Yes. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. The prophetic movement was birthed in the 1980s. And it has the church moving from a passive church of wilderness wanderers to a mighty church of Canaan land conquerors, slaying the giants, hallelujah, through the revelation of warfare praise. The understanding of that praise is a weapon of war. It's helping the church to possess the promises of God and tear down strongholds through the power of praise. This is from Bishop Hammond. And when we started our ministry in 1993, we were teaching from a book by Robert Gay called Silencing the Enemy. He was one of the first minstrel psalmists that came out with a revelation of how God destroys the enemy when you release the word of the Lord. And so this is what this ministry was birthed on. Warfare. Warfare. Warfare and worship, because worship is the highest level of warfare. When we come into the presence of God, when we praise Him, when I hear you praise Him, when I hear you exalt Him, when I hear what Jesus Christ has done for you and those that you love, we rejoice, we exalt Him, we praise Him, we worship Him, we honor Him, and we defeat the giants. Hallelujah. Psalm 8:2. Let's read that. Out of the mouth of babes and nursing infants, you have ordained strength, praise, because of your enemies, that you may silence the enemy and the avenger. Praising God, declaring and exalting how wonderful He is. That is where we scatter the enemy. We shut him up. We shut him up. He knows it's true. Otherwise, he's just lying to you. And he's talking in your ear. He's sitting on your shoulder. Shut up. I'm here to praise God. You start praising God and the enemy goes. He goes. It'll clear your mind, church. Praise is a powerful weapon. And we need to use it more. Remember, the weapons of our warfare, they're not carnal, but they're mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. And so we exercise and use our weapons of warfare. Praise, hallelujah, means strength, boldness, loud, might, power, strength, song. Thank you, Jesus. The apostolic movement is present truth. At the time that Bishop wrote that book, he said it was currently underway in the body of Christ in restoring the principles of godly church government on the foundations of the apostles and prophets so the church can demonstrate the kingdom of God throughout all the earth. Now, this was probably back in 1990. I didn't put the date in here. But it's been a long time. Bishop wrote this book a long time ago, talking about the movements, the coming movements. It's present truth. Present truth is knowing what God is doing right now. It's the revelation of His Word right now. He's looking for those who will worship Him in spirit. We have stepped into Jesus Christ, into the Spirit, and we are worshiping, we are adoring, we are proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom, which is the truth of God. Because the gospel's in us. The kingdom's in us. Get a vision of what God's put in you. There's no greater time. Bishop said this. There's no greater time to be on planet Earth than the appointed time God has given us. The glory days of the church are not over, but are straight ahead, wrapped up in the eternal plan that God has been building from the foundations of the earth. Jesus emphasized this plan when he told Peter, "I will build my church." Jesus Christ is the master builder of the church. Hallelujah. He has restored the prophets and the apostles to the body of Christ. Let's read this scripture together. And he himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers for the equipping of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. God has given apostles and prophets, evangelists and teachers to equip the saints for the work of the ministry. We taught this in 2000. We planted our church on this in 1996. Our desire is that the saints be about the Father's business. Thank you, Lord. We encourage you to be about the Father's business so that the church of Jesus Christ can grow. People, sheep, produce sheep. It is the responsibility of the sheep to reproduce. It is the responsibility of apostles, prophets, evangelists, and teachers to train the saints for the work of the ministry so they can be out and about, because you go so many more places than what we have opportunity to go. We are assigned to different places, but that does not that does not leave you without the call to reproduce. And everything reproduces after its own kind. So I ask you today, and I hear the Spirit of the Lord asking this, if you were to reproduce after who you are today, would the Lord God be satisfied with you? I want to share a story. There was a group of people who lived in a small town by the sea. And several ships sailed by their small town, and often there were shipwrecks in the night because the captains were not able to see the large, treacherous rocks under the water. So a few of them got together and decided to do something about it, and they built a lighthouse. And in the meantime, they worked very hard to rescue those who were shipwrecked. When the lighthouse was finished, they were so excited. Their excitement was contagious, and other people came to help with the rescuing. A few years passed, and the people began to get tired. It was a lot of work keeping up the lighthouse. It was a lot of work taking care of people. Who were in shipwrecks, and it cost more and more money. The people they brought in from the sea were dirty, hurt, and injured. Cleaning up after them and taking care of them was so much work. Well, a group of them decided it was just too hard, and they were not going to do it anymore. They wanted to hire someone to take care of the rescuing, those who had shipwrecked. The group noticed that the lighthouse was in need of repair, so they began remodeling it. You know, it looked so good, they decided they didn't want the shipwrecked people coming in it anymore. They just messed it up too much. So they built a separate quarters for them. They really didn't want to be around them. They wanted to have dinner parties and entertain important people in their beautiful lighthouse. This went on for a couple years when another group formed within them and said, "This is not right. We should be taking care of these people." So they went further down the sea and built a lighthouse and began rescuing the people who had shipwrecked. Within a few years, the same cycle repeated itself. It was hard work. They were tired. They decided just to hire someone else to do the work of taking care of people. A group was formed, and they went further down the sea and built another lighthouse, and the cycle began all over again. Many times you have heard the scripture in Galatians 6:9, "And let us not be weary in well doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not." 2 Corinthians 4:16 through 18 says, "For which cause we faint not. But though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, works for us a far more exceeding and external weight of glory. While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. Do not grow weary in well doing." Yes, it's a lot of work. Yes, to take care of a facility is a lot of work. Yes, to take care of people is a lot of work. I thank God for all of our volunteers. Hallelujah. When we hire someone to come in to do something, the bill is usually no less than $500. And when skills are in the church, those skills and talents are to be used for the household of faith. God gave it to you to bless His house. I encourage you, don't grow weary. And all of you that are continually volunteering and working, God sees that. God sees that, and God rewards you because your reward is in heaven, and God gives you a paycheck that nobody else can pay you. There are people within our church that spend hours ministering to people, hours working on this building, and we thank God for every one of them, and we ask that God gives them a double portion, a double anointing, restores, renews, refreshes, and gives back to them more than they could receive from any man or purpose, because that is how God works. When we seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, then all these things are added unto us. Many people have said, how can you afford a place like that? Well, we can't, but God can. And God sends what we need because God gave it to us. God will sustain us. God will continue to bring people in. We've had people leave this place because they've said, you've had prophets in here that said these seats are going to be full, and they're not full yet, so we're leaving. And it's like, goodbye. We do not want doubt and unbelief in our congregation. Hallelujah. And how do you know these seats aren't full? How do you know that spirit beings from the heavenlies are not just sitting right next to you? We don't look at the natural. We look at the things that are not seen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. God is not looking for another opinion. He is looking for people that will be willing to accept and believe Him and walk in present truth, who will fulfill the plan of the kingdom of God. It is the eternal purpose for which Jesus Christ came to this earth. Will you be one of those people? Everything in the world seems to want to fight what is right. Have you noticed? God is calling together an army of warriors and worshipers, a people who are tender, compassionate, and sensitive, yet will stand against moral corruption and be His voice in the land regarding sin and disobedience. Will you be that person? Our weapons are not carnal. People are watching how we live our lives every day. The scripture says when the enemy comes in, put a comma there. Like a flood, the Lord will raise up a banner against him. Let's be the flood that is raised up in this season. You can put the comma anywhere you want. But when the enemy comes in, I like to believe that like a flood, God raises up His church, His warriors, His intercessors to intercede. We are the standard. God is raising up. The enemy has come in. But we're the flood. And God is releasing a flood into this earth. Open up our eyes to see, Lord God, what you are doing at this time in the earth. The enemy has come, no doubt, and he is angry. Have you noticed? That's one of his fruits. He's lying. Have you noticed? He can't tell the truth. It shouldn't even shock us, church. We shouldn't be surprised when we hear all the lies from the prophets of Baal. Hallelujah. We cannot compromise. When we go too far left, it's liberalism. When you go too far right, it's legalism. Our course must be straight ahead, focused on God, and our eyes fixed on the goal. A church alive with the power of God that knows their God and will do great exploits. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Now, that message I preached in 2000, And it is just as real today as it was back then, and even more relevant, and even more revelation and light and understanding that the Spirit of God is giving us in regards to the kingdom of God and the time and the season that we are living in right now. We will not be ignorant of Satan's devices. And I have said for years, I will not be one whit behind the chief apostle. That's what the apostle Paul said. I'm not one whit behind. I will not be one whit behind, because the Lord releases his revelation and his understanding for us. This is our church. This is our family. This is our flock. God releases revelation to those who give oversight to this congregation. Grab a hold of what God's saying to this family. Grab a hold of it. Listen to it again. It will be online. It will be downloaded on your app. Get the app, the River of Life app. You can listen to it on a podcast. You can listen to it over and over again. God will birth the revelation on the inside of you. And we pray that God will add to it for you. We are not threatened by somebody getting revelation. Hallelujah. We are excited when the Spirit of God begins to speak and reveal through his word. Through his word, the truth. Not some crazy stuff. Don't get hooked in with the crazy stuff. There's a lot of crazies out there. False prophets. False teachers. To tickle our ears. It's enticing. Be careful. It'll bait you and pull you off track. We've got to stay focused on the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords and search the Word ourselves. The Bereans searched the Word daily, for in it they thought they had eternal life. Daily. Let's get in the Word daily. I'm challenging you, and I have been the last few weeks, because I feel such an urgency in my spirit that God is putting a call and a demand upon the people of God to know what he is saying, so that we are saying the same thing. Same mind, same voice. And so I'm going to stop right now, because I could just keep going. Hallelujah. But we have other things to take care of this morning. So let's pray. Father God, I thank you for this word. It's gone forward. Father God, continue to teach. Continue to bring enlightenment and understanding to all those that hear this message, Lord. I thank you, Father, that you're calling some to jump into the deep that have been standing on the shore. And that's what I'm seeing. They've just been putting their little foot in the water. And some of them have really big feet in the water, but they haven't jumped in. Father, I just thank you, Lord, that the Holy Spirit just pushes them on in today. Father God, that they will jump into the deep, and Lord, that you will reveal yourself to them on a deeper level. Father, I thank you for River of Life family. I thank you, Father, for their tenacity, for their love, for their strength, Father. I thank you, Lord. We pray for those who could not be here today. We pray for those who just had surgery, for strength and healing to come to their bodies, oh God. We thank you, Lord, for those, Father God, that you are touching right now, Lord, that have been sick and afflicted. Father God, we thank you for healing, 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 to flow from the house of the Lord out to those, God, that are desiring healing. Someone's been crying out for healing and restoration of their family. Father, I thank you, Lord, that you release the kingdom into this situation, Father. You've heard their cry, Lord. Answer their call, Lord, and release the righteousness, peace, and joy of the Holy Ghost into this family. I just hear the Lord say, there's several families that are standing in the gap. Father God, we stand with them as the River of Life family, Lord, with the authority and the power and the strength that you've given to us. Oh God, we link arms with them. We believe with them for restoration of their families. Oh God, we thank you, Lord, that you're calling prodigals home. Oh God, we thank you, Lord. The word of the Lord has been many times that prodigals would return home. We just release that word to wherever, Father God, in the earth, Lord God, that prodigals are coming home, oh God. We thank you, Lord, for your restoration power. We thank you, Lord, that you came to destroy the works of the enemy. And Father, whatever you have for us to do, Lord, we will do it. Father, we thank you, Lord, that we can partner with you to do justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with you, O God, as we co-labor with you in the earth to destroy the works of the enemy. Father God, I thank you for healing the brokenhearted and setting the captive free. I thank you, Lord. We say, use us, Lord. Flow through us, oh God. It's all about you. All the glory to you, Father. It's your power. It's your strength. It's your word. It's your kingdom. It's your will. Let it be done on earth as it is in heaven. Lord, let it be done in this house, in this place, in every family that's connected to us, Father God. Thank you for your healing touch and the kingdom of God releasing like a flood into the earth in Jesus' name. And the church said, amen, amen. Give the Lord a shout of praise. Hallelujah.